Riders up!
This is Riders Up with Frank Lyons and John Gaver, your one-stop shop for all the Sunday morning racing information that you need. Let's get this party started. Here's Frankie.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Riders Up here on 1300 ESPN AM Radio and WLXG here in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm joined by John Gaver. John, how are you?
Frankie, how you doing, my man?
Nice to see you today. Yes. It was hard to wake up this morning, John.
It's hard for me to wake up every morning. It's beautiful weather out there. I tell you, it's a great few summer days here in Lexington.
Beautiful, beautiful weather here in Lexington. Well, we are very pleased today to have Billy Mott on the show and also Ed Musselman, better known as Indian Charlie to everyone. Quite the character, Indian Charlie. And, of course, I'm very pleased to be welcomed by Billy Gillespie, who's going to be here on the show, former head coach of UK basketball. And we're also going to recap the Whitney and the test from Saratoga yesterday, and also the Yellow Ribbon and Sorrento from Del Mar yesterday also. But first of all, we got to get to a little news. Melena?
Good morning, gentlemen. And the news basically wrote itself this week, so let's get to it. The National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame inducted its 2017 class on Friday, August 4th, at Fasig Tipton's Humphrey S. Finney Pavilion in Saratoga Springs, New York. Jockeys Garrett Gomez, Javier Castellano, and Victor Espinoza, along with three-time Breeders' Cup mile heroine Goldikova, were the inductees. Gomez, a two-time Eclipse Award and 13-time Breeders' Cup winner, passed away in 2016. His father, Luis Gomez, and his daughter, Amanda, accepted the honor on his behalf. Venezuelan native Castellano has won the last four Eclipse Awards as the top jockey in the United States, and Espinoza guided American Pharoah to Triple Crown fame in 2015 and was the regular rider of Kentucky Derby winner California Chrome.
As they come into the final furlong, Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
The Hall of Fame also recognized John R. Gaines, Ogden Mills, Dinny Phipps, and Colonel Martin J. Matt Wynn for the Pillars of the Turf category, which was established in 2013 to recognize, quote, those who have made extraordinary contributions to thoroughbred racing in leadership or pioneering capacity at the highest national level. Gaines was the founder of Gainesway Farm near Lexington, Kentucky, and was the catalyst for the creation of the Breeders' Cup and instrumental in the founding of the Kentucky Horse Park. Phipps was the chairman of the Jockey Club for decades and campaigned numerous champions, and Wynn, a Louisville, Kentucky legend, established the Kentucky Derby as the nation's premier horse racing event. Additionally, the Steeplechase Review Hall of Fame honored new members Goodnight Shirt, a millionaire and two-time Eclipse Award winner, and the venerable trainer Thomas H. Voss, who passed away in 2014. Leonard Lavin, the patriarch of Glen Hill Farm and a longtime pillar of the thoroughbred industry, passed away on August 2nd. He was 97 years old. A native of Chicago, Lavin built the Alberto Culver Company into a household products and personal beauty care entity that was worth nearly $4 billion when it was sold in 2010. Under the care of trainers Willard Proctor and his son Tom, Glen Hill Racing produced more than 80 stakes winners, including 1994 Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, One Dreamer.
It's One Dreamer trying to hold on for another 50 yards. Heavily poised. Here's the line. One Dreamer wins and scores a huge front-running upset under Gary Stevens. Heavily poised was second. You have just witnessed a felony, for jockey Gary Stevens has just stolen a $1 million horse race. And Tom Hammond, we got it on videotape.
In 2008, Lavin's grandson, Craig Burnick, took over Glen Hill's operations. He was one of the most important men in my life, Tom Proctor told Blood Horse's Nathan Mayberg. He was one of the toughest men I've ever known. He lived a full life on his own terms, and that's a good thing. And racing today, the field in post position order from the rail outward for today's $250,000 Troy handicap at Saratoga is as follows. Starting with undrafted with Irad Ortiz Jr. in the irons, Long on Value ridden by Joel Rosario, Pure Sensation with Kendrick Carmouche up, Green Mask ridden by Javier Castellano, Dr. J-Dub entered for main track only, no rider yet named, Holding Gold ridden by John Velasquez, Weekend Hideaway entered for main track only, ridden by Luis Saez, Bold Thunder with Paco Lopez in the boot, and Mongolian Saturday, ridden by Florent Giroux. On the West Coast, the field and post position order from the rail outward for today's $150,000 Grade 3 La Jolla handicap at Del Mar is Fashion Business, ridden by Joe Talamo, Colonist with Flavian Pratt, Placido with Rafael Bejarano up, Pioneer Lad, ridden by Taylor Bays, Offshore with Evan Roman in the irons, Caribou Club, ridden by Drayden Van Dyke, Sharp Samurai with veteran Gary Stevens, Double Touch with Kent DeSormo, and Monster Man with Santiago Gonzalez. And that is all for this week, gentlemen.
Well, I'd like to say rest in peace to Leonard Lavin, a man that I knew, I was pleasure to know, and he was a great man.
Pillar of the racing society, like Milena said, is some campaign, some awesome horses. Relaunch comes to mind, also was an excellent sire. And I remember that call of Tom Durkin's of One Dreamer winning the Breeders' Cup.
Right. This Gary Stevens,
was,
right?
It was like a 40-1, I think. And that paid a lot. Big gray filly, and that was an awesome stretch call. I remember pretty stirring victory. Tom Proctor's a really great guy and, you know, very loyal man, Mr. Lavin, by all accounts. Tough guy, but fair.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a great organization, Glen Hill Farm, well, being carried on by, I guess, his grandson.
Craig Burnick, I texted with Craig yesterday and gave my sympathies to his granddad and... 97. He had very good innings. May we all get to that, to those innings.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So now we got to go to break here on WLXG 1300 AM. We got to get our first guests. So hold on, and we will be right back. Welcome back to ESPN Radio 1300 AM. And we are very, very pleased to have on the line Billy Mott. Billy, how are you?
Couldn't be better. Having a good time.
Yeah, I bet you are after that last week's result. Was that expected, Billy? Be honest.
We didn't. I didn't know what to expect. We knew he had a good horse. We knew he was a good horse on the turf, and we were, you know, determined to give him a start on the dirt to see where we were and how we would fit in. And he started his career on the turf here in Saratoga last year, and he won his first two races and went into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf as the favorite. And we actually considered, you know, the dirt race at that time. But given the fact that he was the favorite going into the turf, we sort of went that direction and then didn't have the greatest trip, you know, in that particular race. But the plan was to probably bring him back to New York and run him in the Remsen to settle the dirt issue at that point. And as it turned out, he got banged up a little bit in the Breeders' Cup, and we had to give him a little time. So, he's back now, and, you know, as we came back in the spring, he really wasn't ready to run until Derby Day. He made his first out. But there was no way we could run in the Kentucky Derby. We had no prep races and no points in him, and we hadn't even, you know, done the dirt experiment yet. So, we decided to wait through the Belmont Derby, which was a $1 million race. And since that was behind us, then we started looking at the dirt again.
Yeah.
It seems like the three-year-old division's pretty wide open, Bill. It's got to be a good feeling to have a horse that's kind of coming around at the right time. I guess he's always had a license to be a nice two-turn dirt horse, being by Harlan's Holiday out of a pulpit mare.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were able to beat the Derby winner and the Preakness winner,
absolutely.
And, you know, in the same race the other day, and our horse did it the right way. So, you know, he looks good. You know, nothing's easy going forward. We'll probably take a shot in the Travers, and I'm sure we'll meet a few of the same horses that we ran against the other day, plus, you know, horses that are coming out of the Haskell.
Yeah. Now, do you get tired of every time a horse wins, coming off of the grass, that they compare them to the Great Cigar?
Well, you know, it's a nice reminder, to tell you the truth.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think, you know, this particular horse was probably rated a little higher even on the turf.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He was running in the very, you know, top-level turf races. Cigar had run on the turf and done okay, but, you know, maybe not at the same level that Good Samaritan had.
Yeah.
So there was probably actually more reason to run Cigar on the dirt than there was this horse. But, you know, for me, it's always been a process of elimination. I don't think I've ever been able to figure everything out without seeing it before me. So,
right, I got you.
To see is to believe sometimes, and I guess, you know, seeing him on the dirt the other day,
he sure
made a believer
good.
Out of me that he can do both, that he can run on the grass, and he is pretty darn effective on the dirt as well.
No doubt about it. I'm just going to switch gears a little bit, Bill. I know you recently got back from Ascot. I saw you on TVG in your top hat. I got to say, you looked really pretty sharp. Never thought I'd see that. But you got a horse in Long On Value, I guess. It's raining up there right now. I don't know if you'll think about pulling him out of there if it comes off the grass. Did he come back from England okay for you?
Yeah, he's looks good. He's come back, and he's doing quite well. You know, the trip really didn't seem to take too much out of him. I mean, he's come back and trained well and breezed well.
Sure.
And he's won over this course before. I might add that our trip to England, to Royal Ascot, was really, really a great time, a fun time. They treated us very, very well, showed us around. You know, I'd never been over there, and kind of a little bit of a, like a fish out of water over there, but they really took care of us, and you know, the International Racing Bureau, you know, had everything lined up, and it was a lot of fun. Naturally, we would have loved to have run better, but I think if we ever thought we had the right horse to go back, I think I'd like to go back and try it again.
It is quite amazing when you think that Wesley Ward has trained 7 winners over there. You know, the first American trainer to ever win a race. And, you know, how much respect do you have for what he's done, Billy?
Well, I think, you know, anybody that is, you know, into innovation and change and you know, reaching out, you know, beyond the borders of what we do on a daily basis, I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just, you know, he was not afraid to do it, and it worked out well for him. And frankly, I think he's figured it out pretty well. I think he knows, you know, which ones to take over there, which races to shoot for, and he's done a great job with it. He's, you know, and he encouraged me to go over there and give it a try.
Yeah.
He did, and Mark Cassie told me what a great experience they had over there with Teppan, and that, of course, they won their race, and
yeah,
that made it all the better.
All the better, but, yeah.
Everybody's been very, very, very encouraging about that. So it you know, and I was, you know, I was in love with Newmarket. I mean, I really, to me, it's fascinating to see the training over there, the training, yeah, facilities, and the amount of,
it's amazing,
real estate that they've given to the horses for their training. It's just, you know, they've dedicated thousands of acres for the horses and the different gallops that they've got over there.
Now, I'll tell you, Billy, you'd love Newmarket, but you would hate it in the winter to be out there training horses. Now, for the folks listening now, John, you used to work for Billy Mott, and Billy, I'd love you to tell me a story about John Gaver.
Well, I'm not much at remembering stories. I'd like to
thank
come
you
up
for
with
that,
but I'm not much of a storyteller. you got to get maybe give me a couple beers, and then maybe I can. It helps my memory a little.
Well, that's encouraging. You don't remember him like breaking anything, or you know, messing up in a big way.
I messed up plenty of times. Bill's just too classy to mention it. I will though, but
I'll have to call you back with that.
Yeah.
There you
okay.
go. Bill, I know you got to run a few today, and you're really kind to. Take the time to talk to us. Happy belated birthday. Give Riley and Irma my best, and we hope to talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you, Billy.
All right. Very, very good. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye. Billy Mott, everyone. Well, I think we got to go to break here now. Do we, Producer Ben? Yes, we got to go to break here on WLXG 1300 AM. Riders up. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone, and hope you're enjoying your coffee and whatever else you need to get you going on a Sunday morning. We are joined right now by a good mate of mine and John's, Ed Musselman, also known as Indian Charlie, loved by most, hated by some, Charlie.
Yeah, you can't keep them all happy.
Yeah. So where are you right now?
I'm in Saratoga. I'm at my apartment here. We're working on another sheet. We're working on the next edition, and it's sales time here. So this is kind of a busy week for us. And all the cabbage heads from Lexington are all up here this week.
Go. And except one.
And they're except one. And they're keeping the saloon girls kind of moving, stepping and fetching right now.
Muggins, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us, buddy. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. No problem at all.
I got to ask you what's the feel in the barnyard about the racetrack up there at Saratoga this summer? It seems like there's been kind of a spate of breakdowns up there, and seems to kind of come or creep up every time around this time of year. Is it really laboring, or horsemen concerned about it?
Everything I heard when I first got up here is that they had put a lot of new material on the racetrack, and it was deep and tiring, and you know, maybe it just hasn't quite settled like you like a racetrack to do, and they have had unfortunately they have had a little bit, you know, I think they had 14 breakdowns the whole meet last year,
right?
And they've had a significant number this year that would make you think, you know, a little bit more than last, but, you know, hopefully they can get it figured out, because, you know, I've noticed that Ty Pletcher's working a lot of horses on the
Oklahoma.
Where that was not the case prior to. So it's got some of them up here a little bit gun-shy. If I had those kind of horses, I wouldn't blame them for being gun-shy.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, you got to protect the horses. And, I mean, Saratoga is always been known as the best of racing, the best of racetracks. And it's unfortunate that they're going through a little bit of a hard time now with the horses that end up breaking down. Now, that doesn't mean that the horses end up being euthanized, but just... break that, you know, we don't want to slag off Saratoga, because... they're fabulous, really, all around.
I tell you, I have the most respect for Glenn Kozak, the trackman up here, and he's in a unique position. He's got Oklahoma training track, Oklahoma turf track, main track, two turf tracks, the pony track.
Yeah.
He's got Belmont training track. That guy, he's got a lot on his plate, and he really does do a good job. It's just, sometimes these unfortunate events just come in bunches, and then everybody panics, you know. And I think that's what's going on right now. And hopefully, with you get some rain. Sometimes it's helpful, and
sure,
and which we did get, we're getting some rain this weekend. So, you know, just hope that they can figure it out, or it can kind of figure itself out.
Yeah. Now, to change gears here, how did you get your nickname?
Indian Charlie?
Yeah.
Well, the name came from an old clocker that was around Kentucky for a long time, and his name was Charlie Neal, and he was an Indian, a full-blooded Indian from Oklahoma, and he kind of lived by his wits and you know, watched horses gallop, and you know, in the old days, he's watching them old holding riders, you know, and he just he just didn't anything get by him. And he's one of the few people I can say in my life he made a living gambling and a good living gambling. And he was just a real character that was around Florida in the winter, and then he'd come to Oakland and Keeneland and Churchill, and you know, sometimes it'd be Monmouth in the summer, sometimes it'd be Arlington, and you know, that was in a day of the 30-day meets or 50-day meets everywhere, and you know, you kind of have to pack up and go. And
sure,
he knew what was going on, and he just lived by his wits. And he died about 5 years before the paper started, and that's just the name we came up with at the last minute. And it's actually turned out to be, you know, one of the better decisions I probably ever made.
That's awesome. I've known you for a while, and you're a good buddy of mine. But I don't think I ever asked, when did you start doing the sheet mugging?
The first Indian Charlie was in April of
1994.
So it's been around quite a while now. It used to be new. It's not new anymore.
And how much circulation do you have with the sheets? And like, how many of the sheet do you make up a day?
Well, I mean, like right now, like, well, yesterday on Friday, I did, I printed up 2,500 sheets, and that's the highest I ever have to print up, but that was because of Hall of Fame. So, you know, we're putting them in the barns, we're putting them in the grandstand, we're putting them in the
bathrooms.
And then all the people that came to the Hall of Fame got one. So, but normally in a hard copy form, probably around 1,500 up here. And, you know, we put them in the barns at Churchill Downs and sure, different places, different racetracks get them. So, and then the internet and Twitter, you know, so you know, we got a lot of people that can access us that way as well.
Yeah, definitely check out his work on IndianCharlie.com. Got to do it. Muggins, if a guy wanted to go out to dinner in Saratoga, maybe one of our listeners is going to head up that way, maybe for the Travers or something, where do you think that they might bump into somebody like Tom TV Genius or Chad Chumpy Brown?
Man, I tell you, those guys, they're fancy people. No telling what kind of restaurants they're eating in. You know, I'm buying a slice of pizza at a time, you know.
I hear you.
So, yeah, I'm not on the dinner circuit as much as some people are, but I don't know. Tom TV Genius, it's hard to say. You know?
I hear you.
Probably wherever one of his owners is eating, that's where he's eating. So he's giving them the info, you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now, we'll switch gears again. Who do you think is the best three-year-old in the country?
Well, I've always thought McCracken was, and I still kind of do, except the way he ran the other day, it just kind of makes me wonder about the mile and a quarter.
Sure.
But I think if you stacked them all up and they were running a mile and an eighth, I would just make him out to be the best horse.
I mean,
off of his race at Monmouth, I'd love to be wrong and have him win the Travers, but you know, he didn't finish up strong, real strong, to make you think 10 furlongs would be what he wants to do, but
he might have been in front a bit too soon, though.
You know, at most racetracks, you can say maybe ran up there and the jock kind of emptied him out and everything like that. But at Monmouth Park, it's a short stretch. You know how it kind of is.
Sure.
Horses close it at Monmouth Park and just seem like they never get there. And I mean, if they said, you know, your horse is going to make the lead turn for home and draw off and open up two at the eighth pole, I'd say, well, I'll take that, you know. But it just didn't pan out, you know. And I know I didn't give Gervin the credit that I should have. He's a lot better horse than I thought he was.
Yeah, me too.
And I didn't think he would. I mean, he's just better than I knew he was good. He's just better than I thought he was. And he ran down there and got the job done. I'll tell you, a horse that could be coming around and might be the kind of horse for the fall of the year might be Irap. You know,
I agree.
He beat Gervin in those.
Yeah.
He came back and ran a monster race in Indiana.
Yeah.
And he's a great, big, good-looking, you know, thick Tisnell, I guess he is. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Tisnell. And then, you know, getting ready to come up here and go a mile and a quarter. You know, it could be him, you know. So that's kind of the horses that I would put at the top of the list right now. We got some horses that look a little used up around here in the Jim Dandy that didn't, you know, some Derby winners and Preakness winners that
sure
didn't wow anybody, you know, last weekend. So
you know, I wouldn't look for them to come back and undo their poor performances next time out, but you never know.
Yeah. Now, what about, who's your favorite jockey?
I'm pretty much a Javier Castellano man myself, and especially on the grass, of course. But I got him at the top, to tell you the truth. And there's some other, you know, the Irads, both of them, the Ortizes are both good.
They are.
Jose Lizcano's one of my guys. They don't bet on him, and he wins, and he pays bigger prices and doesn't ride the favorites. And I kind of like that. So there's a bunch of good jockeys up here, but I'd have to put Javier Castellano at the top of the list.
Yeah, all right.
You know a few things about jocks. You've had you were former agent. You had the book for several good. Right? Who are some of the jocks?
Some
you represent?
Good ones and some bad ones. That's... I had all kinds of them, but the best one I had and the most success I had with a jockey was Garth Patterson.
Yeah, awesome and, rider.
He was just a guy towards the end of his career. He didn't want to ride just every race, and so. So instead of running around begging people to put him on horses, I used to just follow Pat Day's agent around.
There you go.
And when something fell off that wagon, that's what we did. If he stayed in town, we went out of town. If he went out of town, we stayed in town. And, you know, just it makes you realize that it's about the horse. But, you know, you get a good jock somebody wants, and you got a shot, you know.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Thank you so much, Ed, for coming on.
Muggins, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. It's good hearing from both you guys, and certainly appreciate you having me on the show, and hope to see and talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care, buddy.
Ed Musselman, right, Indian Charlie, everyone. Well, Billy Gillespie, ladies and gentlemen, is now on the line. Billy, thank you very much for joining myself and John Gaver here on ESPN Radio, Riders Up. How are you, Billy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, now I know that you're a big fan of horse racing. So, what are you watching these days? Are you at Del Mar? Or?
No, I need to be out there. There, Saratoga. I'm planning to go to Saratoga in the next week or so. So, really excited about that. But no, just watching, keeping up with it. Summer's great for racing. You know, you got Del Mar and you got Saratoga going, and then everything leads back to Keeneland. And I don't know. I am a big fan, I'll tell you.
Now, what are you doing right now, work-wise, Billy?
Work? What are you talking about work, right?
It's a four-letter word.
I quit working a long time ago. No, I'm coaching out at my alma mater. I went to Ranger Junior College, and it's about 45 minutes away from my home. And I went back there a couple, 3 years ago to kind of help them out, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's away from the mainstream. And
sure.
And you can really help a lot of young people trying to get to where I have been and get players to the highest level. And so it's been a lot of fun doing it.
Sure. Now, we're sitting right now right across from Rupp Arena, which you spent a lot of time at. What kind of memories do you have of Kentucky?
Hey, I didn't spend that much time there, Frank. So
yeah, you spent 2 years.
You know, that wasn't supposed to be funny. You guys are laughing at me.
Yeah.
No, the time that I was there was great. I enjoyed it. There's not a better place in the world. I mean, what a great state! Number one, I love a few things, and horse racing and basketball are right at the top of the list, and none better than Kentucky. Especially University of Kentucky in both of those regards. I don't know. Rupp Arena is like, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
My first year there, we weren't very good at the start because everyone was injured. We got in the conference and we won all our conference games and had a chance to win the conference. And it was because of Rupp Arena and the fans in there. It was something else. And, you know, I've been a lot of places. I've played at most of the great venues in college basketball, none better than Rupp. When you got on a run in there, it seemed like a bomb. It sounded like a bomb was going off.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt.
It was really good. When you didn't go on a run, it got pretty quiet.
tried to stay,
in my 2 years there, it was quiet too much, Frank. That's why I didn't stay there that long. But it was a lot of fun. Great place.
Now, was it your time you spent in Kentucky that kind of got you interested in horses, or did you have an interest in horse racing, you know, as a younger man?
I always loved it. You know, we came from my family was like totally rich. We took 3 days off every year to drive 10 hours to go to Rio Dosta Downs because Texas didn't have racing at that time. So we were, you know, we were pretty much blue bloods from the day I was born. But no, not really. We went out there and just, it was fun. And you know, it was a great change of venue. It was always about 110 degrees in Texas.
Yeah.
In Ruidoso in August, when we always went, it was about 70 degrees and just beautiful. And just got into it.
Yeah.
And just love horse racing. And I mean, the Kentucky, you talk about a beautiful place, and then you add beautiful animals like that, and then it's just amazing to me.
Sure. Now, you were born in Abilene, Texas, and you were the middle child and the only boy. Four sisters, is that right, Billy?
That is right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how close are you to your sisters? How close do they watch your career?
They've been great. I lost a sister to cancer about 3 years ago, but still have three left. And
sorry.
Yeah, they've been great. They've always, everywhere I've been, including Kentucky, they always wanted, they felt like they were a part of the program. And one of my other sisters is actually a coach. And so where I grew up, you couldn't do anything except play sports. We didn't. It was a Texas town that had no football, and so it was basketball from the time you learned to breathe. And
sure.
We, you know, just grew up on it. But my sisters have been fantastic. They still are. They even come out and watch our games when we're playing now.
Yeah.
It's a very, very supportive family.
Huh, that's good. Now, are your mom and dad still around?
My dad's still around. He lives in Abilene still. My mother passed in 2011.
Oh.
But she really came. She really loved going to the games when I was at Texas A&M and got up to Kentucky a few times. And unfortunately, cancer got her in 2011.
Yeah, that's sorry about to hear about that.
Yeah,
no.
So she had an unbelievable life. So
yeah,
we got to figure out how to beat cancer.
Yeah, no doubt, of course.
That one of these days.
Yeah. So now you've been described as a workaholic, often going 6 months without food in your refrigerator. Billy, remind me to decline if you offer to.
Where do you come up with this?
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
You've made numerous jokes about how fat I am, so I didn't go too far without having too much. You make fun of me all the time, but I have lost about 30 pounds here in the recent.
You did?
Recently, yeah.
Dang, I've been
doing it all on the track.
Really? I don't know. Yeah. Now I have nothing to make fun about.
Well, I can lie anyway because you can't see me over the phone. So, no, I'm not lying. It's been great. I had a little blood pressure issue back in December and didn't coach, and so I was tired of having blood pressure issues. So it's been great.
Yeah.
But no, I love working. You know, that's the thing in basketball, and you know, anybody that has the good fortune of being able to do what they really love to do, it's never really been a job.
Yeah.
You know, and so they say workaholic. It sounds like a bad word, but
every time you got to go to work, you get drunk.
exactly. I mean, drunk on loving doing it. And so, no, it's never been a job to me. And if it ever got to be a job, I definitely wouldn't do it anymore.
Now, I guess you like to play the horses a little bit and handicap some. Frank's told me, is there any, you got any kind of angles that are your favorites or, you know, jockeys or trainers that you particularly like?
I do. I have so much information, I don't know how to use it.
Same, same with me.
That's my problem trying to pick a winner is I know just enough about quite a bit of stuff, but not enough real good stuff about anything.
That's
so,
very well, you know, said, sir. I feel the same way.
I'll waffle from time to time on exactly playing first time against winners and stuff like that, or playing a trainer, or playing a jockey or whoever, you know. So I'll switch off back and forth. I could be swayed. I sway like the wind goes.
You go with who's ever hot at the moment.
But I will tell you who's winning today.
Who?
Number five.
Number five. You know,
I don't know what track, I don't know what race, but it's going to be number five. One of the number five will win today somewhere.
Yeah. You know, I used to know this guy, Billy, in Southern California, and he'd won the lottery. And so he used to go to racetrack. He used to bet 1,000 to win on the one horse. Every race, 1,000 to win on the one horse.
Wow.
Wow.
And
you don't have to hit them off at every day. Just got to do it before your money runs out.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
I heard Frank place a big bet a couple of weeks ago on on Baffert's Horse Irrigate, the show. I
heard it made a big show. But what did you make of that, Billy? I mean,
that was crazy, right?
Man, it's crazy. I love that horse. Wow, he's been so spectacular, coming right on the top of American Pharoah. Wow.
Yeah.
Great for horse racing, but it's amazing to me to see a horse not run better than that. I mean, they're just so, he's so good, but it goes to show you how many other good horses there are out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and you got to bring it every day. It's just like any other athlete. You have a bad day, somebody's going to take your spot. But I sure hope he bounces back. I bet he will.
Yeah, me too. I hope so, yeah. Too.
Well, you know, ahead, Billy.
No, he's just so dominant last year and the start of this year. It was really, I think a lot of people are anticipating watching him come back and doing the same thing, and hopefully he'll get back on track.
Yeah, so, I mean, when he when he goes into retirement, he's going to run for like $18 million more dollars, and he's already earnings of 17-point-something million. He might retire with like $30 million in earnings.
Wow.
That's nuts.
That's Frank Lyon's money.
That is, right? I haven't found it yet, but I... Billy, you're known as a great recruiter. What does that, like, entail?
Thanks for saying that, too, but I think it's all about, first of all, common sense. It's just, to me, it's always been just hard work. You develop relationships, and you have to have those relationships to get in the front door. And once you get in the front door, you got to really develop a relationship with the families and the players. And recruiting has really changed a lot these days. When you're recruiting like that, and nobody's done it better than Coach Cal. I mean, nobody in the history of the sport, maybe with the exception of back a long time ago in John Wooden when he was doing it, his run, and then also Dean Smith. I think those two are the only guys that compare to what Coach Cal is doing right now. But, I mean, it's hard to get great players, and it's hard to make great players into a great team, and that's another deal that Cal's done. Well, it's almost impossible to get a freshman to play to the level that he does, and he's a master at it. Oh. You know, they play like seasoned veterans, and I know they're good, but there's other places that have had great freshmen, and they couldn't get him to the court at such an early time like he does and play at such a high level. So it's been amazing to watch that. But, you know, it's different these days. Like at that level, they're not supposed to have agents or anything like that, but or any kind of representation. But it's all dealing with agents. It's all dealing with, you know, third parties, fourth parties, all those kind of things. So it's quite different. It's very, very close to what they're doing in the NBA as far as getting free agents to go to a particular place. So it's a total different deal. You hear a lot of people that are still kind of confused saying, man, I bet he's great when he goes in the home and sits in the living room and talks to those. It's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I bet very few times where Cal even goes to a home I'm talking about Coach Self and Krzyzewski and Roy Williams and those guys. They're long before they ever get to the living room making a presentation, they've already got a commitment and they've already developed a relationship with the players. So it's a talent acquisition situation now much more than recruiting.
Huh. Yeah. Well, Billy, it's been great to hear your insight and to get to talk to you. And you're a good pal of mine. And
Really an honor talking to you. Thank you for taking the time to come on the show.
It's my pleasure. Frank, you're the best, and you guys keep doing what you're doing. I heard your show's just knocking it out of the park, and keep it up.
Well, thank you very much. Billy Gillespie, everyone. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
So now we're going to go to break here on Riders Up, WLXG, 1300 AM, ESPN Radio. That was great.
Awesome. In Lexington.
Gunrunner turning for home in the Whitney. In front by two. On the outside, Breaking Lucky is second. Keen Ice has made his way up into third, but he's still far behind. And now Florent Giroux lets Gunrunner go, and he's opened up a four-length lead. Breaking Lucky is second. Keen Ice on the outside is third as they come to the line. Gunrunner wins the Whitney. He won it by six over Keen Ice. Breaking Lucky was next, and then came War Story. The final time was 1 minute 47.71 seconds.
Welcome back to ESPN Radio, 1300 AM. You're listening to Riders Up. And Johnny, well, we got a recap yesterday what happened at Saratoga. And Gunrunner winning the Whitney, he put his stamp of approval on racing and he was saying, watch out to Arrogate, I'm coming to get you.
No doubt. Seems like talking about upsets with Arrogate and your Derby and Preakness winner getting beaten the Jim Dandy last weekend, but pretty formful race there yesterday, and I didn't think there was any way he was going to get beaten there, and he's in razor sharp form right now.
Well, I thought he was very impressive. He won the race from the gate. I mean, he broke so alertly and took his position behind Cautious Giant, a 62-1 long shot who was a rabbit out there, and just relaxed so well. And I mean, like I say, he put a shout out there to Arrogate, come on, I'm ready for you this time.
No doubt about it. I mean, I think it was like a second off the track record there.
Second off the track
Warrior
record.
Warrior Ron, I want to say, set that track record a few years back for Todd Pletcher. And like, he's a handy horse, you know, he could sit right off the pace. I don't know how the rabbit probably wanted to go a little quicker than 48-1 for a half, but, you know, he got a, you know, Laurent Giroux gave him a great trip, and, you know, he finished. He did what he was supposed to do. I guess by all accounts, he's just really blossomed up there this summer in Saratoga, and he's really coming around as an older horse.
Well, Keen Ice was second, the horse that beat American Pharoah in the Travers a couple of years back. He stumbled at the start, kind of got brushed by a horse there in the race against him, and but I don't think he had any excuse, really.
No, I mean, he got beat by nearly six lengths. I mean, he wasn't making up any ground on Gunrunner in the final eighth of a mile. I thought Breaking Lucky actually ran a pretty brave
race.
To be third in there. So, I don't know. It was pretty formful, I think, on paper. Kind of turned out that way on the racetrack.
Well, they went fractions of 23-4, 48-1, 111-1, 135-1, and then finished up in 147-3. And I just think that was a beautiful race for Gunrunner. It wasn't the quickest of fractions. And going around that first turn, he looked like he was in a perfect spot.
Did you see that he came back in the winner's circle afterwards? He had a shoe stuck in his tail.
He did?
That I've seen a lot of things on the racetrack that was pretty weird. I guess Cautious Giant sprung a shoe.
Oh,
probably back there around the half mile pole, and it ended up getting tangled in his tail somehow. And I guess he finished with a little extra weight there. So that was kind of weird.
But, Cautious Giant tried to kick him in the ass. Huh?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't do a very, you know, I don't know if I want to be kicking that one to get him to go on any faster than he needed to go there if I'm an opponent. But it was a great job. I mean, Steve Asmussen's done a great job with that horse, and it'll be good for racing. You know, I think it'll be an interesting matchup. Hopefully they get a chance to hook up. It'll be a good race for certain.
Yeah, it's going to be a great race. Also, then we had two Southern California winners in yesterday on the card at Saratoga in the test, American Gal. What did you make of American Gal?
She won that pretty easy. I mean,
very impressive.
She's a nice filly. I thought she got kind of a cozy outside post draw and a great trip coming out of the 7/8 shoot there, and just kind of sat off a quick pace and just rolled. Great ride by Jose Ortiz. 122-1, pretty snappy time.
Yeah, fractions of 22-2, 44-2, 109 flat, and she was sitting in a perfect spot.
Yeah, got a great trip. I always like that outside post coming out of the chute, and, you know, Simon Callahan's done a nice job with that horse. The West Coast horses 1-2 in there with Fapien second for Bob Baffert, who I guess had won some sort of crazy five race stakes in a row in New York and had that pretty impressive string upset yesterday, but it was a good race.
And you know,
Always is.
American Gal went off not as your favorite. For the very first time in her career, she had raced, what, five times up till now?
I think that's correct. Yeah. I don't have the PPs in front of me, but that sounds about right.
She was favored for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies last year and checked in third. The communication between Bob Baffert and Kaleem Shah led to her being trained by Simon Callaghan, and Simon Callaghan, of course, had to give up Abel Tasman, who went to Bob Baffert's barn.
It's an interesting game, no doubt about it. Kind of the.
I wonder, did they just swap stalls?
Maybe, I don't know. I'm certainly they didn't just switch barns altogether, maybe just the stalls.
Yeah. So, and also then on the card, Entrechada won the Weya. That was the third race on the card yesterday at 9-1. I can't believe she was 9-1 because all you had to do was watch the previous race, which the first, second, and third were Apple Betty, Somersault, and Lottie. And Entrechada had finished sixth in that race. But if you'd watched the race, you'd have known that Entrechada would run a lot better yesterday.
Yeah, he gave it out on the blog. $20 winner. That's pretty nice. We'll have to check out your picks today. www.johngaver.com, the green sheet. Frank's been pretty hot lately. And
streaks, John, streaks.
Giving out a lot of winners on there. So check it out if you got a chance. He's doing a good job.
And what about yourself, John?
I always do a good job.
Yeah, so thank you. And where do we get that green sheet?
www.johngaver.com.
Very nice. And what about the Lure yesterday run at Saratoga? Also, the seventh race, 100,000. Zenor, a very, very honest and brave horse. Really got a great trip and the win at 14-1 yesterday for Kieran McLaughlin and Godolphin Racing.
Arguably one of the hottest trainers, maybe aside from Chad Brown up at Saratoga right now, is Kieran McLaughlin. Seems to be winning a lot of races with everything he leads over there. I can't believe the horse was, 15-1 in there, but Projected's a nice horse, kind of took all the play at the windows, and Joe Bravo on the front end, kind of hard to beat that combination.
Have you ever seen the Green Tree Stables where Kieran trains?
Once or twice. I've been over there, once or twice.
It's a place to see if you go to Saratoga.
Yeah, I've been there many times.
Yeah.
Many times. My dad trained for him, so.
Oh, yeah.
Been there several times.
So, then on the card yesterday, also, we had the Fasig Tipton Della Rose, the 100,000 on the grass for the girls, and that was won by Thundering Sky at 13-1, upset kind of on leave.
A lot of prices up there. He can get some good value at Saratoga, no doubt. Named after a horse I always liked, trained by Woody Stevens, De La Rose.
De La Rose, yeah. Well, I think she was by Nijinsky, is that right?
I'll go with it.
Yeah.
I'll check that out later.
Try that. And, also today, now we have the Troy Handicap at 250,000 running later on this afternoon. Great race there, great betting race. Who do
you going to beat Green Mask in there, or probably going to be about 8-5? I don't know. I'm not going to play Green Mask in here today. I'm going to go with Long on Value, coming back from England after talking to Bill earlier.
Well, he has a win on the course and distance, and I remember last year. Yeah, he won the Lucky Coin at 5.5 furlongs on the grass, fresh. Kind of off of his effort at Belmont the time before, and he had about a month and a half in between. So he's got about a month and a half now. It's about the same time as last year, same kind of setup in the race, and I would give him a big chance.
He always get, in a turf sprint, you're always going to get some pace. I mean, you need a little luck with the trip, but he's kind of a neat little horse that they figured out when they cut him back in distance. And he's got a pretty nice late kick when he's on his game. And, Green Mask, definitely the horse to beat. Brad Cox.
What a job he's done with this horse.
He's been on fire. I mean, this year he's a really good trainer. He spots his horses very well, and this horse is as consistent as they come. I mean, you see a lot of ones and twos down here in the past performances, and he's a really nice son of Miz and Mast, and he will take all the beating for certain.
I believe that Brad got this horse from Wesley Ward, I think.
I'm not sure about that, but whoever he got him from, he's looks like he's probably moved him up on the last connections. He's done a great job with his horse.
Well, in that race also, you have Undrafted, the former Diamond Jubilee winner at Royal Ascot a couple of years back for Wesley. and Wes Welker and the Monomoy Stables. He's the kind of horse that can jump up and give you a surprising race every now and then. When you count him out, he'll come up and kind of make you know he's still around.
Yep, that's true. 7 years old, maybe getting a little long in the tooth. His past few efforts against Stakes Company have been a little lackluster, but you know, like you say, he's got a, you know, he can jump up. Another late running horse that's going to get some pace to run it, going to save all the ground on the head. So there's might be a good setup for Undrafted today.
And you know, we might not have mentioned the winner yet.
Who's that going to be, Frank?
Pure Sensation.
Very consistent horse, Christophe Clement. You know, it's a wide open race, very good betting race. Loves a course there.
That's right.
And
loves to win.
Very dangerous tactical speed.
And also, then we have Dr. Jake Dubb and Holding Gold. I kind of like him a bit today. John Velasquez back aboard. He was aboard him last time out, I believe, for the very first time. Finished third behind Disco Partner and a half a length behind Green Mask.
He's a nice horse, Live Oak stud, homebred, won the Shakertown. That's always a tough race at Keeneland here in the spring. And, you know, he's got a license to run well in here. He's another closer. There is some speed in here. I know we've been talking a lot about closer, but there is some speed in here to kind of set up the late runner's move, that's for certain.
Yes, and he's 1-for-1 at Saratoga. He won the Quick Call last year.
That never hurts to have a win over the course. You know, he looks tough. I mean, it's a wide open race. It'll be a good betting race for certain.
Yeah. What did you think about the Sorrento at Del Mar? Did you happen to notice the Sorrento yesterday?
I was actually watching the replay
from Del Mar
there a little bit.
Yeah.
And Phil D'Amato's horse won pretty easy. You know, kind of. Horse has got some ability, it looks like, by Jimmy Creed, who's a young sire that can get some runners.
Yeah, absolutely. Standing out there at Spendthrift. And, I look a bit disappointing. Bob Baffert's filly and Peter Miller's from the one hole.
Just kind of spit it early, it looks like. I don't know. It's not all that quick for California, you know, 21 and change. And just kind of for the opening quarter, then just kind of backed out of it from there. But went off favored. And I don't know, we'll have to see if there's any legitimate excuses for that. Kind of a clunk through in a clunker, it looks like.
Yeah, well, I mean, one that didn't throw in a clunker was the winner. What is the name of that winner again?
Spectator.
Spectator. That's, I believe, the first stakes winner for Jimmy Creed, whose first cropper, two-year-olds right now, right?
That is correct. And, you know, he's got, he can get a runner. He's a nice horse, was a nice horse, I should say, and he's turning into a pretty nice sire.
Trained by Richard Mandela in the day, I believe, Jimmy Creed. Well, I think that's about it for another week. Johnny, we had some great guests today. Billy Gillespie, Billy Mott, Indian Charlie. We got it all taken care of.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great show. Really, really nice of all those guys to take the time to come in. Hall of Famer, Billy Mott, and Indian Charlie's always got some good stories to tell. And I think the listeners would be psyched to catch up with Billy Gillespie. That was pretty cool.
Well, I'd like to thank you also, John Gaver, and also our producer, Sean Say. And this is Frank Lyons, and we'd like to say goodbye to you all.
Sports Radio 1300.
I've got a terrible stain on my best dress shirt. I was going to wear it on my business trip.
Don't worry. Just take it to Emperor's Cleaners in the Auto Hour Plaza on Richmond Road. They'll get that stain right out.
There's not enough time for that. I leave for my trip in 2 days.
That's still no problem. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in same-day dress shirt service. If you drop your shirts off by 9 a.m., they'll have them ready for you the same day.
Wow. Say, I've got a pair of dress pants that are too long. Do you think they could take care of that, too?
Absolutely. Emperor's Cleaners provides top-notch alteration services.
Well, I guess I better get over